Jim Harold's Campfire is brought to you by my Paranormal Plus Club. Get all of the classic episodes of the Campfire you may be missing out on and so much more. There's almost 1,200 podcasts over there, video webinars, and more. Check it out at jimharold.net. Get $25 off a yearly membership during our summer sale. jimharold.net. The Campfire is also brought to you by Scott eVest. Whether you're a ghost hunter or a gadget guy or girl, tons of pockets in your clothing, well, they just make everything better. They're also great gifts. To learn more and get a super special Scott eVest deal, go to jimharold.com/vest. That's jimharold.com/vest. Thanks, Scott eVest.
Welcome to our gathering tonight. Here we share stories of ordinary people who have experienced extraordinary things. Sit back, relax, and warm yourself by Jim Harold's Campfire.
Welcome to the Campfire. I am Jim Harold, and so glad to be with you once again. It's been a very busy week over here at the Spooky Studio, and we're a day late on the show. I apologize, but better late than never, and I'm sure that these stories will make up for it. I do have some exciting news. It looks like in the month of July, I will be releasing that adult coloring book for the Campfire that I was telling you about. You know, that's all the craze these days, grown-ups coloring books. And I thought the Campfire would make a great subject for that. So what we did is we selected some of our best stories, partnered with a fantastic artist, Len Peralta. I can't draw a stick man, but Len is a genius. And just today on July 8th, we finished the draft. And now we've got to send it away for a proof and so forth. But if everything goes just so, I think we may actually have that up for purchase in late July or early August. So I'm very excited about that. It is the true ghost story adult coloring book inspired by Jim Harold's Campfire. So I hope you'll check that out when it's available. And it was inspired by stories like this. Next up is Taylor from Minnesota. Now, we love these family stories, and not everything has to be evil or, you know, monsters coming out of Ouija boards. Taylor is going to tell us this story about his grandpa, and can't wait to hear it. Taylor, welcome to the program. I know you've been listening for 3 or 4 years now, and please tell us this story.
Sure thing. Thanks, Jim. So back in 1997, I was almost 2 years old. I was at daycare at the time.
Speaking of old, that makes me feel really old.
Yeah.
But go ahead.
Well, so I was at daycare, and I guess I don't remember this, of course, because I was, you know, 18 months or however old. But this is from my mom telling me this. I had gone up to my daycare provider lady. Her name was Cindy. And I said to her, tell Papa to get off the tractor. He's going to get burned. He needs to get off the tractor.
Oh, my.
And I guess I was really emphatic about it and very distraught and crying and stuff. And she had no idea what was going on or what I was talking about. So she just dismissed the whole thing. But the next day, my mom and sister stopped over at the daycare to pick me up and try to figure out where my mom's cousin was at, because my grandpa had been in an accident with a tractor. He was mowing the lawn, and the tractor exploded.
What a strange coincidence, except
yeah.
I don't believe in coincidences.
Yeah, it was. It's very odd. It seems to me to be some kind of premonition. Mm-hmm. And he was badly injured on there, and then he was taken off life support shortly after and passed away. So that was about 19, 20 years, something like that, coming up here soon. 19 years. So that was the first incident. And then in October the same year, I was 2 years old at that time. Our whole daycare group, we kind of, you know, went out to walk around in the park and go play on the playground and stuff like that. And we were walking back down the sidewalk in the street, and I was walking ahead of the rest of the group, just kind of doing my own thing and not really listening. And I guess Cindy was calling for me to slow down and stop and stuff, and I wasn't paying attention, and this car started backing out of the driveway ahead of me. And she came, you know, she backed out of her driveway and did the 90-degree turn to start going down the road. And as she did that, she noticed me standing there like a couple inches from the car. And she jumped out of the car and ran up to me, and then Cindy ran up to me, and they were trying to figure out what was going on and why I didn't stop when she asked me to. And I said, "Papa Cliff told me to stop. He said otherwise I would get hurt." So this is, yeah. So those are the two big stories. I went and talked to my mom about paranormal happenings that have gone on during my life, and she told me these two big stories that I do vaguely remember, but not that well.
Now let me ask you this: do you think there was? I mean, even though you were so young, do you think there was some special connection between you and your grandpa that made this happen? I mean, why do you think that you had this connection with your grandpa like this?
I think part of it is the great connection that my grandpa had with my mom, his daughter. And to this day, she has she's been able to communicate with him after death. And his spirit have been a very, very big influence on her life. I don't know if I had that kind of connection with him. I didn't know him very well. I've since learned a lot about him from my mom, but not in the personal kind of way you get to know your grandpa when, you know,
sure,
when you're growing up and stuff.
Mm-hmm. Now, that's a very touching story, both of those anecdotes. But yeah, I think you have another story about a creepy staircase, which I don't think is quite so touching.
That was an interesting one. So this would have been a couple years ago. I was a senior in high school and part of an engineering club. So we build robots that compete against each other. And we were up in Duluth, Minnesota for the big state championship or whatever. And spending, you know, a couple nights at a hotel in the area. So a couple of my friends and I were just kind of wandering around the hotel, and they found this little, I guess you'd say like a service door or something to get to a staircase in the corner of the building. And they came back afterwards and kind of told me what they found. And I decided to go with and check it out. So I'll just lay it out like this. We walked through the door and we started walking up the spiral staircase. And we were on the second floor. We got to the third floor, the fourth floor, and then the fifth floor started looking a little different. The walls were not quite as, they weren't painted the same way. There was a giant, like, I can only describe it as like an iron patchwork door. I have no idea if there's any significance to that, but it was creepy looking at the time. So we kept going up, and eventually we found this hallway that they had gone down, which was an unfinished floor. So all the rooms, the hotel rooms, not furnished, not the walls weren't put up or anything, all brand new, newly constructed. And all the walls were painted stark white instead of like the normal cream color that the rest of the walls had. Mm-hmm. So it was just kind of a disconcerting place to be in. It felt wrong, and we felt like we weren't supposed to be up there, but we were up there anyway. And we walked down the entire hallway and kind of, you know, looking at the view and stuff. And at the end of the hallway, there's this giant elevator, like in The Shining, you know, and we were half expecting it to open up and blood come pouring out. But walked back to the staircase, and as we were going to walk down the staircase, go back to our room, we noticed another staircase across the hall that was just like a metal staircase that you might see in a fire escape type of situation. So we decided to walk up that, and there was a door at the top that said, no hotel guests beyond this point. If you're seen beyond this point, you'll be thrown out, basically. And we were like, well, should we try the door? So I tried the door, and it was unlocked, but we were too chicken, so we started going back down. Now, I'll mention this staircase that we were on, this metal one, was really loud. It was, you know, entirely made of iron, and we were walking down. It was clanking with every step. It was very loud, and we were talking, not really being quiet at all. And we were about to head back down the spiral staircase when we noticed that spiral staircase actually continued upward, but was blocked off by like a chain and a little thing that said "Do not enter" or whatever. So, mm-hmm. Of course, we entered it, and. My friend Miranda started up walking up first, and she noticed like a little, some like piece of garbage up there, like a bottle or something at the top of the landing. And her boyfriend started walking up after her, and I was the last one. And he, Jason, grabbed the railing, and it made this noise. Like it was a loose railing, and it, you know, kind of settled. So it made this like loud clink. And, I was like, oh man, that's, you know, that was really loud. And we also, you know, settled for a second and hope no one, you know, no one heard that or anything. And then all of a sudden we hear, "Hey," right above the staircase. This creepy, creepy voice. Did you catch that? Do I need to?
No, yeah, I got it.
Cool. It was really disturbing. And then Miranda reports seeing a hand like reach down towards her. And so I didn't know what was going on, but the next thing I knew, we were all running down the stairs and just running back to our room. And we were terrified. Our hearts were pounding, and we got back to the room and locked ourselves in there. And, you know, a couple high school kids, we think, looking back on it, it was probably a homeless person or something like that, just kind of sleeping up there. Because it did seem like a little bit of a den, but right. Well, we don't know. And I hate to say this, but we actually did go back like an hour later with some more people and gave them the tour of the weird hallway with all the rooms and showed them the fire escape looking stairs. And then, and I have no idea why we went back, but I think we felt more comfortable with, you know, it must've been a dozen of us at this point. And then we started to look at the other staircase where we heard that voice say, "Hey," and like right on cue, we hear, "Hey," and then we all start booking it down the stairs. It was awful. It was horrifying.
Well, I'll tell you, and that's the thing. I don't think you had really kind of a continuum of stories there. You had the spooky story and you had the very touching story. I won't say the P word. I say the P word, and I'll tell you what that is off air, Taylor.
Sure
thing. I don't know what it is, but people complain of me saying the P word, so I'm going to stop saying that word. But it's very touching, let's put it that way. But anyhow, that's the way I view kind of the paranormal and the supernatural. Mm-hmm. People think it's all evil and scary and demons and monsters flying out of Ouija boards, and maybe that's part of it. But I also think there's a softer side. I think it's kind of like just everyday life. There's good, there's bad, mm-hmm. and there's in between. And I thank you for tuning in and sharing your slice of paranormal world with us tonight, Taylor.
Yeah, and you know, Jim, if I might just say, I think that all of the stuff that's going on, and homeless person in a staircase aside, all of the paranormal or strange things that are going on, I think are all interconnected somehow. I think that there's some kind of force external from the universe that's pushing on us and causing these bizarre things to happen in our lives, things that are unexplainable.
Yep. And that's why we have the campfire, so we can talk about all
absolutely.
These things. And thanks for being a part of that conversation tonight.
Thank you so much for calling, Jim.
This podcast is brought to you by my Paranormal Plus Club. And you say, "Jim, why are you telling me about this now?" Because we have a great summer sale going on over at jimherold.net, $25 off a new yearly membership. And it's very cool because it repeats every year. So you get $25 off every year once you're a member in good standing and you stay that way. So what do you get with the Paranormal Plus Club? Well, you get access to almost 1,200 podcasts that you can't get on the free side. What are we talking about here? We're talking about all the classic campfires going back to 2009 that are not on the free side. We're talking about all of the classic paranormal podcasts back to 2005 that are not on the free site. We're talking about exclusive podcasts like UFO Encounters, Ghost Insight, The Other Side, The Crime Scene, Conspiracy Corner, Ancient Mysteries on the Air. None of those have been available ever on the free side. Then you get video webinars on things like communicating with the dead, tarot, black eyed kids with speakers like David Weatherly, Micah Hanks, Rosemary Ellen Guiley. Then on top of that, we have virtual meet and greets. We're going to have one here in July with me where you can log on and talk to me and ask me your questions. And it is a lot of fun and it's a great deal. A lot of content for very little money. So please do check it out at jimherold.net. You know, that Plus Club really powers everything that we do and allows us to do as many free shows as we do. Somebody asks, why do you charge? And it's like, well, it is my job. So usually we get paid for our jobs, and the people who support us on the plus side, we appreciate everybody, don't get me wrong, but the people who support us on the plus side, I give them an extra thumbs up. I know everybody can't afford it, and some people are just opposed to the idea of paying for content, but I think about things like cable subscriptions and magazine subscriptions and subscriptions to music services and all this, and people will pay for those. So why not for a treasure trove of paranormal content? And you can get a great deal now over at jimherold.net with our summer sale. And I really do appreciate it very much. So please do check it out. I hope that you enjoy it. It even comes with a 7-day money-back guarantee if you don't like what you find over there. But jump on board now. $25 off a yearly membership over at jimherold.net. Another return caller. She's only been listening for about a month, but she already has two stories in. Now, that for you longtime listeners, that means you've got some catching up to do with Susan from South Dakota. And she's going to talk to us about a very interesting college experience. Susan, welcome back. Thank you for rejoining us. It sounds like the first time wasn't too traumatic. Tell us what happened.
Hi. Yes. Well, as I have said before, this experience happened to me years ago while I was attending the University of Montana. And I was living in an all-women's dorm. At the time, it was called Brantley Hall. It was U-shaped, and the exterior was red brown brick with a tiled roof. It's very ornate looking and kind of Spanish looking. The dorm was built in the 1920s, I think 1925. Well, at any rate, I had been living in the dorm for about 3 months. And one particular day, I overheard the resident assistant speak or say something that about a ghost that was haunting our dormitory. And naturally, I was fascinated with that, and I badgered her for with questions. And she lowered her voice and told me this story, that in 1929, a girl who was living on the third floor, which was above where I was living, and the girl had hung herself in her room when she heard that her father, who was a rancher, had lost everything in the 1929 stock market crash. Well, that was music to my ears. Not that she died, but, you know, the story. And so naturally, I set about to investigate this. And let's see, the first, I guess the first attempt at my ghost busting was that my roommate and I decided to camp out in the third floor broom closet. I don't know why we thought that would be a good idea, but there we did it. And after about 5 minutes of sitting in the dark amongst the mops and the brooms, it crossed my mind that this was probably a dumb idea, especially in case someone opened the door and, you know, saw us and would want to know why we were sitting in the broom closet. So we left the broom closet, of course. Then as time went on, I went down into the archives down in the basement of the library, hoping to find some information about this girl. And I don't recall that I really found out too much, but I guess it was enough to, you know, keep my interest going. Let's see. One evening, I was at class, or had been at class. I came back to my room when my roommate told me that someone had called for me on our phone in our room. And I said, well, who would that be? And she said, well, her name is Molly. And I looked at my roommate, and I said, but I don't know anyone named Molly.
Huh.
And we stared at each other, and I said, well, what did her voice sound like? And my roommate said, well, she just sounded very cold, and she just said, well, just tell Susan that she'll know who I am. And her name is Molly, too.
Hmm.
And I just kind of got the shivers at that. But, of course, I was more fascinated than ever. Let's see, another incident, my roommate was walking along the curvy hallway, and she looked up from her thoughts, and she saw a person ahead of her, and this person had just rounded the corner on her left, and so she hurried up, you know, scurried around the corner, and the person was gone, and she could have sworn it was me. And she described this person as blonde and wearing a purple sweatsuit. And my roommate rushed up to our room, and I said, gosh, you look like you've seen a ghost. And she said, were you just downstairs? And I said, no, I've been here all night. Why? And then, you know, she explained that. Another time, one particular day, I decided to skip this English literature class. And then the next day, I returned to the class, and my seatmate, who was sitting in front of me, we had assigned seats, and he said, oh, so who is that girl? You know, in your place.
Mm-hmm.
I said, what girl? And he said, well, I thought you knew her. You know, she's taking notes. And I said, I don't know what you're talking about. So then I said, oh, well, what did she look like? Did you see her eyes? And he said, well, I wasn't looking at her eyes. And so I don't know. Maybe that was the ghost. I don't know. A doppelganger. I don't know. Let's see, two more short experiences.
Sure.
One night, my roommate and I were in our bunk beds. I had the top bunk, and we were, you know, settling down for sleep. It just seemed to come on so sudden, we heard these loud, reverberating booms up and down the hallway. Boom, 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 boom. It sounded like a herd of cattle were, you know, coming down the hallway. And immediately we were just like, what's going on? And then the booming footsteps stopped in front of our door, which is room 210, and it was banging on our door. And it kind of looked like the door was kind of bulging inward. And we were just so petrified, and I said to my roommate, could I bunk with you, you know? But I made her get up and turn the light on because I was so scared. Eventually, that noise just, you know, went away. And I think the last experience was that a mutual friend of ours, her name is Valerie, and one morning she came up to me and she said, Susan, I dreamt about you last night. And I said, oh, really? What was that about? She said, well, your ghost Molly told me that if you continue to nose around, something bad is going to happen to you. And I looked at my friend and I said, okay, that's it. And I stopped looking, you know, ghost hunting at that school.
Now, so it sounds like this has kind of informed your whole interest in this, is that you've had these experiences, and it sounds like it's helped kick off a lifelong interest. Is that correct?
Well, actually, I've had experiences ever since I was a kid, so I've always been fascinated with ghosts.
So it's one of those things that wasn't just that. It's things that have happened before and then things that happened.
Oh, yeah, yep. But I guess you could say this is my crowning moment.
Well, thank you so much for joining us tonight and sharing that story. It is amazing these things happen, and we do run into this other world that we don't quite understand, but it's sure fun kind of trying to understand at least a little bit of it. And with people like you, that helps us a lot by sharing your stories. Thank you so much, Susan.
Well, you're most welcome. Well, thank you.
We have a return caller on the campfire. Mark from Los Angeles is back. You remember a few weeks ago, he told us that fascinating story about his grandfather and some unwelcome visitors while he lay on his deathbed. And he's returning with another story that hints at the supernatural. Maybe of a premonition. Very interesting stuff. Mark, welcome back to the program and tell us what happened.
Thanks. Back in February, it was my birthday. It landed on a Tuesday. And after work, I went, a lot of my friends at a pub that I frequent, that my father introduced me to, like I said before, it's kind of like a Cheers type of place, kind of a feel to it, a lot of older gentlemen. And I'd go there, visit every so often, talk to some of the guys. And so my aunt, some of my family was there, and it was getting late. I was there for a couple hours, just, you know, chit-chatting. And they said, you know what, go hang out with your wife. Go, you know, celebrate with her. I'm sure she's home just waiting and just, you know, wants to be with you on your actual birthday. So why don't you go ahead? I said, okay, I'll go ahead and do that. I'm just going to finish my beer. So as I finished my beer and closing my tab, one of the gentlemen that I've talked to every so often, not a lot, but, you know, I see him there with his wife all the time. He comes up to me to wish me a happy birthday. And he says, hey, man, I see you here and enjoy yourself. And it's fun to have you here. But go home, man. Go home and hang out with your wife. You know, I'm sure she wants to be with you on your birthday. And you're hanging here with your guys. But, you know, your wife's really important. This is my wife here. He introduced me. He says, I take her everywhere I go. We do everything together. She's my best friend. And you want to, and he says, living a long life, you learn to appreciate them and you want to be with them. And because you never know what's going to happen. You never know how long you have to love her. And you just want to spend as much time. So I said, oh, you know what? Thanks, man.
That sounds like some real words of wisdom there.
And I take that when old people talk to me like that, I take it to heart. I listen to it. So I said, okay, man, I'll talk to you later. Have a good one. Okay. So that was on a Tuesday. Fast forward 5 days later. So I think it's like, that was on Thursday. Fast forward to a Tuesday. I wake up, I had a dream, that where I was standing outside my house with a coworker. I don't know why I was dreaming with my coworker next to me, standing next to me outside my house. She has no relevance, but in my dream, we're standing outside my house and I just see a shadow, like a shadow just go past my house. And I looked at my coworker and I said, did you see that? And she says, yeah. And I said, what do you think that was? And she says, I don't know. It looked like the shadow of death. And I said, that's exactly what I was thinking to myself. That freaked me out. So that was my dream, and it startled me. So I woke up, and I'm like, you know, what a relief, you know. And I looked at the clock to see what time it was, so I can see how much time I had before I had to go to work. And it was like 4:03, 4:05 in the morning. So I knock out, go to work. At lunchtime, I'm going on Facebook, going through my news feed, and I see a post of some young dude at the pub. He posts himself at the pub having a drink in memory of so-and-so. And I didn't recognize the name. So I touched the name that he tagged. And it was the name of the guy that had told me, given me the advice to go hang out with your wife because you never know what's going to happen. So I, you know, replied, what's going on? And he said that he passed away. That, I told him, I just had a dream that death had, that I had dreamt of death before that, like earlier that morning. So I'm kind of, you know, freaked out that I just had that experience. Well, I go at the funeral. After the funeral, we have some drinks at the pub and toasting and talking to his family and celebrating his life. And as we're chit-chatting with the wife, she says that he had passed away at 4:05 in the morning. I'm sorry, 4:10 in the morning, the same morning that I had the dream of death visiting. So I feel like I had a premonition 5 minutes before he had actually passed away. I mean, like, I don't have any really, I don't really know him that well. I just talked to him a few times, but it just felt so too coincidental that 5 days before he's telling me to go hang out with my wife because you never know how much time you have with her. And then the day that he passes away, I had a dream of death, which I didn't know at the moment what it meant. I don't know why no one had passed away that I knew. But when I found out the timetable of when things happened, that's when I knew something, I had experienced something.
I think you definitely had. And maybe it was just what he said to you resonated so much you made some kind of spiritual connection. But it is interesting he said that. Be sure to treasure every day and don't take it for granted because you never know what'll happen. And isn't that so true? I mean, I know my own family, I've had family members who have passed and we didn't have a clue. And you could knock me over with a feather when I got the news. So really, I think we all owe it to ourselves and those we love to remember. Treasure every day. You don't know what's going to happen tomorrow. Yep. So keep that in mind about your own life and those of others.
Yeah, you try to appreciate the time you have and take advantage of it when you can. And, you know, because, yeah, you get a bad car, you can, you know, bad health, you never know, but you want to enjoy the good times.
Absolutely. And thank you for helping us enjoy the campfire by sharing your stories. We really appreciate it, Mark.
Thanks, Jim.
Jeff is on the line from Washington State. He's been listening for about 3 months. His friends Lisa and Sean told him about the show. So a big thank you to Lisa and Sean. And Jeff has a fascinating tale of what happened to him when he was out camping. And really looking forward to hearing this story. Jeff, welcome to the program. And please tell us what happened.
Well, thank you for having me on. Yes, it's actually a campfire story. for your campfire story. Well, about 4 years ago, I went Bigfooting with a group of my favorite people up in the panhandle of Idaho State. And my friend Jim and I were camping in the same tent together. It was a big wall tent, probably 10 foot by 10 foot, that he used for elk hunting. And so it had a big opening flap on the front side of the tent, and that was facing. That opening was facing the campfire area and the camp area. Well, anyway, the first night, I stayed 3 nights at this camp, and the very first night, I heard this incredible crashing through the woods, through the bushes, and I hear these huge footsteps walk up to the edge of my tent, and something sounded really big breathing next to me.
Oh my!
Through the tent. Yes, and it stood there for a while, and I could hear it breathing. And then a few moments later, you hear the little critters run into the camp, and the big one walked around the tent into the camp, and they played with our pots and pans and had a good old time. That happened every night I was there, the 3 nights I was there, that same thing happened.
Wow.
Tonight. Yeah. So I think it was the second or third night, I can't remember for sure, I was sleeping in the tent. I was on the back side of the tent, and I was laying on my right side facing away from the campfire, which had been properly put out with gallons and gallons of water before everybody went to bed. And I wake up, I see all these orangish, reddish flashing lights everywhere.
Huh.
And I wake, and it wakes me up from a sound sleep. And I'm wondering, okay, why are the cops here? You know, we're way out in a remote place in Idaho State. And I turned and looked out the front of the tent, and I noticed the campfire had reignited. And there were two flames side by side. I called them the dancing flames that were in the middle of the campfire pit. And they were probably 5 feet tall, going up to over 10 feet tall, like you would see a dancing flame. So there were two of them.
Huh.
Anyway, so I'm staring up the tent thinking, what in the world? So I say to my friend Jim, who's in the tent with me, Jim, wake up. He's like, huh? I said, the campfire started up by itself. And he looks out the front flap, and he's like, oh, it did. So we sat there. None of us got out of the tent. We just laid on our cots and stared out the front flap for, it seemed like 10, 15, maybe 20 minutes, just staring at these dancing flames. Well, it wasn't just dancing flames. You could see two really tall, dark, human kind of like figures going around the campfire in a clockwise motion.
Ooh.
And yeah, and as they were so big, as they went between the tent and the fire, it kind of blocked out a lot of the light. So they were pretty big. That's the short version.
What do you think they were? What do you think all of this was?
Well, I like to think they were elder Sasquatches doing some kind of a ceremonial deal. Apparently they weren't mad that we were there. And so I got to experience something very special. Some people think it might be what is called the djinn.
Oh, yes, we've talked about the djinn before.
Yes, and I don't like to mention that name too much because you probably know why.
I know why, yes.
Yeah, probably not a good thing you want in camp. And some people say that the djinn can take on forms that you're familiar with. So it's possible that it was the djinn, and they were in the form of, 10-foot-tall Sasquatches doing this fire pit thing. But I don't know. I like to think they were our friends, the forest people, performing some kind of a cool ceremonial act.
Wow, that is a unique story. That's the thing I love about the campfire, is we always have people call up, and how long has it been now? 7 years of doing this show. I always think, I've heard it all. I've heard it all. And then somebody will call up with a new story and a new spin and something totally unexpected, but yet so compelling. And Jeff, thank you. Thank Lisa. Thank Sean. I appreciate you coming on the show and sharing your story.
My pleasure, Jim. Thank you very much.
Jim Harold's Campfire is brought to you by Scott Evest. Whether you're a ghost hunter or a gadget guy or girl, tons of pockets in your clothing. Well, they just make everything better. Plus, they make fantastic, unique gifts. To learn more and get a super special Scott Evest deal, go to jimharold.com/vest. That's jimharold.com/vest. You know, I've been talking about Scott Evest over at the Paranormal Podcast Show for, I guess, almost a couple of years now, at least a year and a half. And I absolutely love what they do, because what they do is they take something like a jacket or a vest, and they sew as many pockets into it as humanly possible. And I should say their clothing is top-notch, very, very high quality. But you have this bonus of all these pockets. For example, I have their Quest Vest, which has 42 pockets in it. And I'm telling you, if you're into gadgets like I am, or maybe you're a ghost hunter, this is the ideal piece of clothing for you, because you can fit all of that stuff in there. And you can walk around with your hands free, but yet you have all this equipment on you. It is fantastic. For example, from time to time, occasionally I'll go to conferences and things and record. And before I'm fumbling with all these cables and mics and recorders, Now, it's all in my Scott Evest. People don't even know I have anything. And all of a sudden, I whip out basically a whole recording studio. And I can only imagine when I first saw this and I approached the Scott Evest people to work together, I said, you know, this would be great for ghost hunters with their K2 meters and their cameras and recorders and all. It is the ultimate for ghost hunters. Now, it's not just vests. They have shorts, pants, shirts, jackets, even sports jackets. So if they can sew a ton of pockets into it, they make it. Plus, it's good for men and women. So let's not forget women here. It really is a unique gift. I've actually had people email me and say, hey, I got some of these for my family at the holidays, and they absolutely loved it. And they said they never heard of it. It's totally unique. It is great. So I've got a deal for you. If you'd like to save 20% on your Scott Evest purchase, go to jimherold.com/vest. That's jimherold.com/vest. Click the link I provide there and use the coupon code JimHerold, one word, and you'll get 20% off your purchase. What a deal! Discover the power of the pocket. Go to jimherold.com/vest. Click on the link and use the coupon code JimHerold, and you get 20% off your purchase. Check it out. Thanks, Scott Evest. Belinda is on the line from Kentucky. She's been listening for only about 3 weeks, but she's already a Plus Club member, and she's ensconced in all of the stories. And tonight, she's going to share her story, and it's very, very sensitive, very personal. So I want to thank her, first of all, for having faith in the show to share it. I know these kind of things could be hard to talk about, but we want to have a very, very comforting environment here. And Belinda, welcome to it, and please tell us what happened.
Well, last year, our youngest daughter, who was 32, had some really problems with addiction, and we did everything we knew to do to help her, and she had just gotten married, but, you know, the addictions just proved too much for her, and she committed suicide. And she left us a letter, and so the first night that she died, and let me give you just a bit of a background. Allison had worked in and lived on a reservation in South Dakota, mm-hmm. and she was adopted into the tribe, and so she really embraced the Lakota nature mm-hmm. and their culture and thrived in that. So when she comes back home, it turns out we have a good friend that's a Cherokee medicine woman, and she and Allison bonded tightly. I mean, they leaned on each other, and Allison gained a lot of wisdom from her. So the day she died, that night, of course, was probably the roughest night of our lives.
Sure.
But I get a phone call the next morning from the medicine woman. And she tells me that Allison woke her up in the middle of the night around 2 o'clock in the morning, and put her hand, and I will tell you the medicine woman's name, it's Mom Feather, and she put her hand on Mom Feather's wrist, and it startles her, and she wakes, and Allison speaks to her and tells her that to ask her to please pray for her and to tell us that she loved us. So that was comforting in a way. Mm-hmm. Well, the next night, I decided to sleep in Allison's room and in her bed. And I had just turned out the light, and I had just closed my eyes, and I heard the bedroom door open. Well, we have another daughter that lives with us. And I thought, oh, my gosh, that's Sarah. And she, if she knew I was awake, she would probably pounce on the bed. So I kept my eyes closed tightly. And I heard her walk into the room. I heard her feet shuffle down by the side of the bed. She walked across the foot of the bed around that area and came up the other side. And then she stopped, and I thought, I'm going to keep my eyes closed, because if she even knows I'm awake, she'll jump on the bed. But instead, I felt the covers pull back, and I felt it was like someone's knees coming into the bed where she leaned and crawled into the bed. And I felt the mattress depress a little bit. And then I felt arms come around my waist from the back, and she squeezed so tightly, and I thought, bless her heart, she needs comforting too. So I reached behind me to draw her closer, and there was no one there. And suddenly, I felt an intense, I felt Allison. I felt her presence. So I flipped on the light quickly, and of course, but it was gone. That whole moment was just gone. But I just really treasure that experience. It was real. And I know there are people that will not believe that, and they'll think, well, you were in that twilight sleep. I was not asleep. I did keep my eyes closed, but I was wide awake. And I just felt it, but everything was real. I heard her walk through the carpet, her feet shuffle. I felt her literally climbing into the bed. I've never felt anything like that since, and I had never felt that before. In fact, probably if someone had said that story to me, I'd probably thought, well, yeah, you were really asleep, you just didn't realize it. Not in this case. I was awake. So it was strangely comforting to me. Mm-hmm. And I have told this story since then, and every time I tell it, I just get this overwhelming feel of comfort. So I'm glad to be able to share it with you, and maybe others will be comforted by it too if they've lost a loved one. But can I tell you something else kind of strange that happened about her?
Absolutely.
I have a little chest, a small little chest, where we keep our cell phone cords and chargers and things like that. And I use it frequently. So one day, it's not been too awfully long ago, I opened that little chest to get one of the cords out, and I see this letter in there, and I'm thinking, what? Where'd this come from? And I open it up, and it says, Dear Mom, Happy Birthday. And it was from Allison, written several years ago. I'm thinking, how did that letter get in there? Because I knew I had put it in a Bible in another room, in a drawer. And I asked the family, no, they said they didn't know it, didn't even know I'd had that letter. So my husband says, oh, I wish someday I'd get a letter from her. So a couple of weeks later, I'm in another drawer where we keep batteries. And I open the drawer, and all of a sudden, this paper comes fluttering out of the drawer. And I reach and grab it up midair, and I see it, and it's her handwriting, and it says, Dear Dad, Happy Father's Day.
Oh, wow.
And Ed said, where did that come from? I said, Ed, I don't know. I don't know. I said, I keep all those letters in a Bible that no one knows about, except I'm the only one that puts things in there for safekeeping. My other daughter has no clue even where that Bible is. It's just a very large, old Bible. But to this very day, we're thinking, where? How did that letter get in that drawer? We just still don't know. So I kind of want to believe that she put it there. And this happened, I think this was the most recent thing.
Mm-hmm.
Of course, I have cried a great deal over her loss. And I got a phone call one Saturday morning from the medicine woman. And she said, Belinda, I need to ask you, have you come across any handkerchiefs? I said, no. Should I? And she said, well, I dreamed. Allison came to me in a dream, and she said, I have seen my mom cry a lot, and I'm going to make sure she has some handkerchiefs. And I said, no, I haven't found any. Well, later that day, my mother comes to visit, and she says, oh, before I forget, I brought you these, and I don't know why I brought them. And she reaches in her purse with handkerchiefs.
Oh, my.
And I have this stunned look on my face, and she said, "What's wrong?" And I said, Mom Feather called, and Allison had told her in a dream that she was going to make sure that I got some handkerchiefs because she had seen me crying a lot. And my mother said, "I have to tell you, I don't even know why I brought these." She said they were my mother or her grandmother's, which means my great-grandmother. And she said, just as this thought kept pushing in my mind, take those handkerchiefs to Belinda. And, you know, who knows? Maybe Allison gave her those thoughts. We don't know. But she said I had had every intention of keeping those handkerchiefs, but it was just that message to me get stronger and stronger. And she said, I thought, okay, I'll bring them. And so she did. So maybe it's all coincidence. I don't think so, and I don't want to believe that. But and if it is a coincidence, so be it. But it certainly has helped us and helped me, all those situations. But I will tell you, there was someone crawled in the bed, and I felt her presence so strong that night. And it's something I will treasure for the rest of my life.
Well, I'm glad you had that comfort. Of course, we're sorry for your loss, but hopefully these experiences do provide some comfort. And Belinda, thank you for being a part of the campfire.
You're very welcome.
Well, we have another new listener. Edward, just been listening for a very short time now. He listens when he's at work. And he has a story about a house that he and his family moved into. And then strange things started happening. Edward, tell us about this strange house with strange things. And welcome.
Thank you. Well, we just moved into this new house. It was a pretty old house, not too old. As soon as we moved in, we started hearing footsteps in the attic when late at night. Found it. Sometimes they'd get really loud. Sometimes it'd be like little footsteps. Every once in a while, you'd hear people talking, but there was no one around. So you kind of just be like, okay, whatever. Like, just people talking. Eventually, it started to get worse. Things started falling. Refrigerator door started opening by itself. My sister would be talking to a little girl that wasn't there. It was very creepy. But months went by, and we kind of just got used to it. You know, we didn't mind it much. But then one day, my mom decided that she wanted to play with the Ouija board. The Ouija board was never used before in the house, so we kind of didn't know if it would be a good idea.
Mm-hmm.
But we decided, well, you know what? Oh, well, we'll just, you know, have some fun, you know, maybe talk to the ghost.
Yep.
See what's going on, you know. I was nervous, to be honest with you.
I don't blame you.
Yeah, it's something I never dabbled with, but I was like, okay, fine, let's do it. So we went into her room, turned off all the lights, you know, set to make it spooky, you know. Then we started asking questions. It took a while for it to start working, but eventually it did, and we started talking to a little girl ghost. She said, spelled out her name was like Ramor or something weird like that. But then eventually my girlfriend was with me at the time. It was a new relationship. We just started dating. It was like probably a couple months in.
Right.
Didn't know much about her, but, you know, was learning. Then my mom decided to ask if there was any loved ones with us.
Mm-hmm.
Then immediately it started spelling out grandmother.
Ooh.
So my mom, my great-grandmother had passed away a couple of years before, so my mom immediately thought that it was her great-grandma. So we were asking questions, it started moving, and it was saying that it's always with her, like it was just pointing at my mom. And then eventually my girlfriend got the nerve to finally ask, is there anybody with me? Which was, I was kind of like, eh, who's going to really, like, what? I don't know anything about it, so like, no one's moving the planchette, you know. But then she asked that question, and it spelled out brother, which I found kind of odd because her brother was still alive. She had an older brother, and I was kind of just like, brother, like looking at her like, okay, why is it spelling out brother? She immediately got really emotional. She took her hands off the planchette. She got really emotional, started like kind of tearing up a little bit. And I was kind of like, what's wrong? And she was just like, nothing. She's like, ask another question. And she kind of just, I was just like, why don't you ask a question? And she was like, okay, ghosts, what brother is with me? What's his name? And it's spelled out Abel. And I was kind of like, Abel, like, who's Abel? And she had her hands off the planchette, so there's no way she was moving it herself. And eventually I was kind of just like, okay, who's Abel to her? And the planchette spelled out twin.
Ooh.
I immediately was kind of like, twin, like, what? And she started crying. And then I was just like, what's going on? And she immediately just kind of got really sad. And she then said that she was supposed to have a twin brother. And he passed away at childbirth.
Wow.
So, yeah, I was creeped out. I was kind of like, what? Like, so I knew nothing about this. So I was kind of just like, what? Like, are you serious? And she was like, yeah. And so she started asking more questions. And it started spelling out more things, and kind of, it was just really eerie that it knew that. And like, I don't know, it was just something new and something crazy, and I never tried it before, but it was just insane. And like, no one knew that she had a twin brother that passed away.
Wow. That is really wild.
Yeah. It was really creepy, really crazy. We used the Ouija board a couple of times after that, but we didn't really get into it that much because after that, more stuff started happening. It's kind of like, you know, they say it opens up a doorway to let things in. So after that, we kind of stopped using it because of it. The ghost activity kind of got way worse.
So it flared up after you used the Ouija board?
Yeah, pretty much.
Wow, that is spooky. So I'm assuming to this day you don't mess around with Ouija boards.
No, I haven't. I actually still have it. I have not used it because I'm living at my grandparents' house and I kind of don't want those to be here.
Well, the thing is, I don't know if you've heard it yet, but we just recently had a podcast with Robert Murch, who is the world's most esteemed expert on the Ouija board on the Paranormal Podcast show. So you might want to, any listeners out there who haven't heard that, that's on the Paranormal Podcast feed just recently. And Edward, you might want to check that out to get more information on the mysterious Ouija board, or after that experience, you might not.
Yeah, I definitely will listen to it. I've been listening to it constantly, your podcast constantly. I'm a Plus Club member, so.
Oh, thank you so much. Thank you so much. I really appreciate that too. You people like you make what I do possible, so I appreciate it. And thank you for telling your spooky story on the campfire this week.
No problem.
Thanks so much for tuning into the campfire this week. I hope that you enjoyed it as much as I did. And I also hope that you'll remember our friends over at Scott E. Vest and check that out over jimherald.com/vest and my Paranormal Plus Club. You know, all the time I'm talking to callers who, hey, I've just been listening a month. I've been listening 2 months. And you're missing hundreds of classic shows if you're not a member of the Paranormal Plus Club, including over 200 campfire episodes. If you're brand new here, you're missing a lot. We have a lot of free stuff, but you're missing a lot more by not being a member of the Plus Club. So please check that out. $25 off a yearly membership. Never a better deal. Check it out at jimherald.net. And we thank you for checking out this show. Please tell your friends. Please rate and review it. I know that we're on Spotify now. We're on iTunes. We're on Stitcher. We're on TuneIn. We're at the website. And I understand we're going to be in some other places soon, but you'll have to wait to hear about that. We're not going to let the cat out of the bag until anything's official. But another exciting outlet coming for Jim Harold's Campfire. We thank you so much. We'll talk to you next time. Have a great week, and as always, stay spooky.
You've been listening to Jim Harold's Campfire. Tune in again next time for more stories of ordinary people who have experienced extraordinary things.